In the holy name of Jesus, amen. In the season of Epiphany, we're still left to find the answers to two important questions. Who is Jesus, and what does that make us? When Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana, it's certainly a different type of miracle than we're accustomed to. At first glance, the story may seem like some kind of fancy party trick, like Jesus just showing off his divinity to the world. But we're left wondering why this sort of miracle was the first miracle that John tells us. Typically, Jesus' miracles help and heal people, including healing the blind, the deaf, the sick, and the lame. But to know the meaning and purpose for this miracle, we read the story through the lens of the last verse of the text. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Jesus' miracle at Cana teaches us something. John uses the word sign to describe the miracle of Jesus. And we know how signs work. A stop sign indicates that we should stop our cars before entering into a four-way intersection. Signs on bathroom doors at restaurants indicate which bathroom is for men and which bathroom is for women. Signs show something, communicate something that goes beyond just the physical sign. And John uses the word sign to describe this miracle because Christ's miracles signify something. They teach us something about Jesus. And when Jesus turns the water into wine, it teaches beyond just the physical element of changing water into wine. It teaches that Jesus is the bridegroom to his bride, the church. There are actually many different miracles that Jesus did that John in his gospel calls signs. But we're left to ask, what do these miracles teach us? What do these miracles point to? The signs teach us about different roles of Jesus. With the miracle at Cana, we know how Jesus came to be our bridegroom. At the next of his seven signs in John's gospel, Jesus heals an official son who was on the verge of death, showing himself to be a physician of the body and soul. But the greatest of Jesus' signs was his last sign. And it's to this last sign that all these other miracles and signs point. But first, the wedding at Cana signifies to us that Jesus is our bridegroom. He's our only bridegroom. Because in the text, the wine is provided to us by Jesus and him alone. Wine is central to the celebration of a wedding in Middle Eastern culture. Without wine, the celebration is cut short. It ends. That's why it's important for the groom to provide enough wine for the wedding. But at this wedding that Jesus attended in Cana in Galilee, the wine ran out. And this brought great shame and embarrassment to the groom of the wedding. But after his mother's plea, Jesus steps into the role of provider for the feast. He turns the water from the purification jars into wine. He provides for the wedding feast. He set the table for the celebration to continue. He provided the good wine to continue this joyous feast. Jesus provided wine for this feast, fulfilling the prophesied description of the Messiah who was to come. The Old Testament reading from Amos testified to this. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. And I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel. Jesus and his miracle provided anywhere from 120 to 180 gallons of wine. If you're unaware, that's a ton of wine. One may call it an abundance of wine. And so when Jesus provides a miraculous abundance of wine, we know that the Messiah is here because Amos has prophesied it. And he comes to be the true bridegroom of the wedding feast, because the former bridegroom was not able to provide for the feast, not in any kind of lasting, substantial way. In that sense, Jesus provides all good and true and eternal things. When the world falls short and is unable to provide the things that satisfy into eternity. For that reason, anything we receive from God is good for us, including afflictions and sufferings, for they direct us to eternity. At times we may believe that to be the case, that we trust God and his abundant blessings no matter how many afflictions come. But to not believe that is to not see Jesus for who he reveals himself to be at the wedding of Cana, that he is the true and only bridegroom who gives us all good and gracious blessings to our cup, till our cup runneth over. At times we may be tempted to marry ourselves to worldly things, worldly blessings, other comforts, other identities. But whatever we marry ourselves to will provide for us the same way the original groom at the wedding of Cana did. That is, its blessings will run out. Marrying ourselves to a sinful, rebellious world, its desires, its satisfactions, its provisions, will ultimately have a feast that ends. And our true satisfactions and longings for life will never be satisfied. Many people, even in the Christian faith, want to marry themselves to their own moralisms, their own virtues, their own ethics. They want to marry themselves to nice platitudes and self-exaltations through their own works. Even some Christians, and they'll say Christianity is all about loving your neighbor as yourself. But you can't marry yourself to that. You can't marry yourself to a phrase, a moralism, or an idea. You can't marry yourself to what you do or an identity that you invent for yourself. That sort of feast, that sort of wedding feast will be cut short. It will end. And you won't receive the eternal gifts, the eternal feast of the true and only bridegroom, Christ the Lord, who gives us his very own body and blood to us that we may rest eternally in heaven. That leads us to the hour for which Christ came, as John alludes to in the gospel text this morning. Jesus said, "My hour has not yet come," to his mother in verse 4 of our text. What Jesus meant by that was that his hour had not yet come to show who he is to the world. His glory was not yet to be manifested fully. But when was that hour to come? And when that hour comes, what will we see? We see it in John 13, verse 1, when Jesus and his disciples gathered to the upper room. It says that Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world. That's the hour alluded to in our text. The hour of his death. And that hour came at Maundy Thursday and comes to its final completion on Good Friday. This was when Jesus revealed his glory fully to sinners. His purpose, who he is, truly and fully, is revealed at this moment. He is Savior. He is the Messiah who came to atone for the sins of the entire world. The purpose for which he came to earth met its end with his crucifixion. As his own words from the cross proclaim, it is finished. Our sin met its end with Christ on the cross, yet he rose victorious from the grave to confirm to us who he is. That he is God, Son of the Father, who marries himself to a sin-filled bride. Through this final sign shown to us on the cross, he reveals himself to be Savior of the world. That's who Jesus is. And so, what does that make us? Well, that depends. Do you see these signs and believe? Do you see Jesus as your bridegroom and your Savior? Do you see him as your healer and your instructor? Do you listen to his voice and obey his commands? John writes that when Jesus performed the miracle at Cana, his disciples believed Jesus. After seeing Jesus as bridegroom, they believed. After seeing Jesus as the Savior at the cross, they believed. And at the end of John's gospel, he writes, Jesus did other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in his name. So now that you've heard the Christ, who he is, as your bridegroom, your Savior, what does that make you? Who are you? Better yet, who does Christ say you are? Those who first define themselves by Christ, their bridegroom, their Savior, and are transformed away from the old sinful life of sin and now live in the new life of Christ, live in his forgiveness, act the way he'd have us to act, and obey his voice. Only they have life in his name. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.